Welcome to the jungle, the Wednesday edition. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. I always say it, Wednesday is a big, big day. Lots to get done. Let's not waste any time. All day. All day. What I do want to say to you right off the very top, I've got a beef segment. And that's the good news. The challenging part about that is it's coming fast. You got to get going right now. The crew needs a little bit of time to get it together, which means I need you to start beefing right this second. The actual segment is going to be at the top of hour number two, so I want to line it up right now. If you have a beef, hit me up. You can beef on the phones. You can beef on social media. You can beef on the email as well. The beef segment. Once a week, I don't care what you're beefing about. It can be anything at all. Just make sure you hit it up. Set it up. Get it done. Do it now. 1-800-636-8686. Get in line with a beef. Hit me up on the phones. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Top of hour number two. If you want to hit me up on social media, that works too, at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. And you can email me your beefs, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. 10 o'clock, 1 p.m. Eastern. Before that, I've got a conversation with a D lineman with the Las Vegas Raiders. I was in Vegas yesterday for about an hour. Solomon Thomas. So, Solomon Thomas, what's your beef? 10:40 and 1:40 Eastern time, a quarterback for the University of Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett. And then the top of hour number three, I've got Carlos Pena, MLB Network. Also on a Wednesday, I've got the ATP. And normally on a Wednesday, the Jim Rome podcast, but we're going to move that to Thursday. Lots of moving parts this week. All right, so if you know what you want to do, do it now. If it's going to be a beef, even better. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so starting with World Series. Yes, there is a World Series. Yes, it's underway. Yes, Atlanta-Houston is pretty much the World Series that nobody wanted. It's the one that nobody wanted, but it's the one we got. Now, let me be clear about this. I'm not saying it's the World Series that I didn't want. I really don't care, honestly. I mean, I care. I don't care that that's the one we got. What I care about is that we get the two best teams. And these two are clearly the two best teams in baseball. Now, I know nobody wants to see Houston because, well, cheating the hell out of the game. And it sure seems like a lot of folks are stuck on this fact that Atlanta was an 88-win team in the regular season. Like, who the hell wants to see a team that was barely above 500 in the World Series? So people are hung up on these two things. One side cheats a lot, or did, and the other side is barely above 500. Thing is, just because it's not the Dodgers or the Red Sox or the Yankees doesn't mean that it's a big waste of time. Doesn't mean that it's not worth watching. Doesn't mean that it's not worth investing some of your time and watching it. Jorge Soler made that point pretty clear last night, right from the jump in game one.
Pitch on the way. Hit well, deep left. That's going back. That ball is gone! 1-0 Braves. And Jorge feels like busting loose. And that's how you start a World Series.
Pretty much. Braves radio. So, first batter of that series. Third pitch of the game, bam. That's how you start it off. Especially if you're on the road. And Atlanta was not done there. Ozzie Albies reached base on an infield hit. He stole second, and then this happened.
3-0 pitch. Has a green light. It hits one out towards left center field. Down for a base hit. Into the gap and up the alley. Rounding third, coming to the plate and scoring is Albies. They just now hit the cutoff man, and that's an RBI double for Austin Riley. 2-0 Atlanta.
All right, so we've seen this before, right? Power, manufacturing runs, clutch hitting. That was the formula for the Braves in the first inning, and a pretty damn good formula. And it's what they used, in fact, to reach the World Series. And it's what they used to take the lead in the top of the first. What I'm saying is, you're supposed to be what your record says you are, but these guys are not what their record says they are. The Braves are a hell of a lot better than an 88-win team. You were reminded of that fact in the first inning. And then again in the second inning. And then again with this bomb in the third inning.
1-0 pitch. Hit in the air to deep left field. Spinning around out and left is Bradley, and that one disappears. A two-run home run for Duvall. And it's 5-0 Atlanta here in the top of the third. Into the Crawford boxes for Duvall. You said you wanted him to bust out. He sure enough just did.
Duvall.
Duvall.
The Queen's even in on that one. Duvall. Felt. I love when the Queen jumps in on baseball. It felt like it was 5-0 before the Astros even arrived at the ballpark. And then things took a turn because the most impressive thing about Atlanta's performance last night was not Soler's bomb or Duvall's or the fact that they jumped all over Houston's pitching. Now, the most impressive thing last night was Charlie Morton, Charles Alfred Morton IV. If I'm going full government on a pitcher who did not even make it out of the third, you know something amazing happened, and it did. So Morton gets into trouble in the first, works his way out. That was huge. You can't get a two-run lead before you even take the mound and then blow it immediately. So he works out of that, and that was clutch. Then again, that is who that guy is. That's what he does. This dude is clutch. One of the best clutch big game pitchers in the game. And he's tough. You don't believe me? Check this dude out.
One pitch. Ground ball off of Charlie. Ricocheted right to Freddie. He picks it up. Steps on the bag. What a very fortunate carom off the leg of Charlie, who seems to be okay.
Yeah, he was able to jog over toward first to help cover if need be. And not even looking at the dugout. Travis, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a chance
I'm not faulting anybody for saying something in that moment, but one, I don't think that was a fortunate carom, and two, I don't think he seems okay. That was a laser shot off his leg. That goes down in the play-by-play as a ground out to the pitcher, but there is a huge difference between a weak dribbler back to the mound and that missile off his leg. That thing was traveling at 102 miles per hour off the bat. That's like a rock going triple digits and smashing into your leg. Imagine taking that off the leg and looking around like, what? What? Like if a trainer comes out to the bump, Morton, if you weren't the nicest guy ever, would be like, the hell you doing out here? Get your ass back in the dugout. And going all Bob Gibson with it. Like, I don't know about you, but if I take a rock traveling at over 100 miles per off my leg, I'm looking for a place to lie down and die. I'm looking for somebody to come out and put me down humanely. Yeah, I'd be like, ah, time to die. Not this dude. This dude takes that shot and then jogs over to cover first just in case he was needed. His leg redirects that ball to Freddie Freeman. They get the out, and Morton just gets back up on the bump and keeps on working. He strikes out the next batter, and then he gets the third out to end the inning. Then he goes back to the dugout. He sits down. Duvall does his thing, and then Morton comes back out for the third, and he strikes out one of the best hitters in the game in Jose Altuve. But at that point, you see the pain was too much, and he had to leave the game. If you know anything about this dude, anything about his background, his journey, his toughness, how he is as a teammate and as a dude, you know he's in real pain if he's exiting a World Series game. I mean, obviously. Like, I'm no doctor. But I don't think you need to be to know what's going on here. You take a shot like that, and that stick, that leg, has got to be ballooning up by the second. Like, let me tell you something. I got on an airplane the other day. I flew from New York to L.A. I didn't do anything but sit in a seat for 6 hours, and both my feet damn near exploded right through my extremely stylish David August dress shoes. My damn calves were so swollen, I thought that I was struck down by some new disease that hasn't even been named yet. And that was from sitting on my ass on an airplane. So I'm pretty sure this dude probably had a bowling ball growing out his leg. A bowling ball turning into a medicine ball by the moment. Like, remember when, this is for the old school, remember when Evander Holyfield was beating on Hasim Rahman's head? And then Rahman had a head growing out of his head? Old school reference, look that up. Anyway, Morton had to be out there in serious pain, or there's no way that guy's coming out of the game.
Pain.
And he was, because not long thereafter, Atlanta tweets, quote, RHP, Charlie Morton, underwent x-rays tonight and revealed a right fibula fracture. He will miss the remainder of the World Series. He is expected to be ready for spring training in 2022. End of tweet. Like, dude, that guy was out there on a broken leg. He struck out a guy, got a line out, struck out another guy while pitching on a shattered stick. He threw 16 pitches on a broken leg. Well, not just 16 pitches, but it was actually 10 pitches, followed by a stint in the dugout, and then he came back to throw six more, including a 96-mile-per-hour heater and a dirty curve that was barely out of the 70s, and he did all of that on a broken leg. Yeah, I know. The initial x-ray between the second and the third inning did not reveal a break, and there's this notion that he didn't actually break it until that final pitch to Altuve. Oh, okay. Because that makes it so much better. Because it's so much easier and more comfortable to be pitching on a leg that was on the verge of breaking before finally snapping. Oh, okay. If your leg breaks when you finish a normal pitch, pretty safe to say it was already broken or pretty close to it or very jacked up. Again, I am no doctor, but if the leg broke on a pitch, I'm pretty certain that that line drive did most of the damage. So the guy does all this, then he walks off the field on a broken leg. Not only that, but according to Jeff Passan, as Morton sat in the training room, friends and teammates kept coming by to check on him and tell him how sorry they were. We're so sorry about this, dude. So sorry that happened to you. And his response apparently was, "No, I'm sorry." Like they're showing up to say how sorry they are that he just suffered the worst break in the world, literally. And his response is, "Nope, I'm the one who's sorry. I'm sorry I let you all down." The guy who fought and was grinding out there on a broken leg feels like he let his teammates down. Freddie Freeman said, quote, "And if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Charlie Morton, I'm not sure what does," end quote. Yeah, but wait, there's even more. Not only did he go back out there on a broken leg, according to his catcher, he effectively was jumping on a grenade for his teammates.
It's incredible that he even like thought of going out there, and I bet you it was so AJ could have some more time to get ready. He sacrificed himself.
I mean, if that's how that was, it's even more mind-boggling. This guy's out there pitching through crazy pain just to get out of the inning, and then goes back out there and breaks his leg to give the bullpen more time to get warm. Pretty insane. You want to talk about a man's game?
Man's game, bitch.
Charlie's got a broken leg. Man's game. How weird
man's
is that guy?
Game,
the man's game, bitch guy, I mean. Anyway, that makes last night like the ultimate bittersweet moment and victory for Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, sure, they have a 1-0 lead in the series. That was huge, but they did lose Morton in the process. They still have quality starters. They still have a bullpen that is getting more and more clutch by the day. But no Morton is an enormous loss, even in a huge win. Like, that's one of the best dudes ever, doing one of the most badass things ever, pitching on a broken leg, and then taking even more fire to save those around him. So, they better find a way to pick him up. He'll always be a legend for being out there on a broken stick no matter what happens. But imagine it all going for naught if they can't find a way to grind out three more wins and pay this guy back with a ring. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know these guys are different dudes. I'm just saying, like, if I get a Charlie horse when I'm on a hike, they practically need to airlift me from a forest ranger to get me back to my car in the parking lot. Charlie, the hell are you sorry for? Are you sorry that you didn't take another laser shot to your other leg and break that one too? Man, couldn't you just see my guy with no legs just stumping it out to the mound? My man's out there just throwing gas on pure adrenaline and balls alone. He's out there just stumping it up on adrenaline. He's out there on stumps, running it up there at 97 and apologizing. Sorry, I didn't hit the block. Just couldn't get quite the same stump drive. Man, that was something else. It was game one, you see?
Man's game, bitch.
It is a World Series worth watching. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so in addition to that, I did mention that I made a Vegas run yesterday. I want to tell you about that. So now in the last 3 or 4 days, I've gone to New York and back and Vegas and back. I'm not looking for credit. I just want to say that I've been out and about. Interesting world out there. It's returning. I don't want to say normal, but I will tell you this. Packed airports, packed airplanes, some energy, some buzz. People want life to return to the way it was. And I was trying to think. Man, time is so weird. I always say this. Time is so weird, but I'm trying to think of the last time I was actually in Vegas. So it was good to be there, if only for a couple hours. I want to talk about Mike Tomlin. I want to talk about LeBron getting roasted. I want to talk about the Knicks. I have another positive take on the Knicks. Break out the Knicks. How about that James Franklin presser? How weird was that? So lots of things going on. Also, most importantly, really, the beef segment. Not so important for you, but I'm going to be honest, important for our crew, because we're going to start this thing at the top of hour number two. So I need you in. I need you in now so we can set it up between now and then. Hit me up. Beef at 1-800-636-8686. Beef on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Beef on email at rome@haveatake.com. The killer crossovers, the nothing but net jumpers, the tenacious throwdowns. Basketball is back, and DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is celebrating the return to the hardwood by giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. And playing daily fantasy hoops is so easy. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and you rack up points for threes, rebounds, assists, and more. Score big, and you can score big cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, it is the perfect time to show off your basketball IQ. Like, if you know so much, put it to work. DraftKings is also safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. You don't have to worry about that. So download the DraftKings app. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. This week, new customers get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. Code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Once again, codename Rome, only at DraftKings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We're talking Raider football at 9:40. Saw that stadium for the first time yesterday. Did not get inside, but I went by it. Over a century ago, Trico was the first company to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since, protecting drivers in the harshest weather, from torrential downpours to gale-force winds to wintry blasts. In every climate all across the country, Trico engineers are constantly working and studying your specific driving conditions to make sure that you will be ready for anything at all. Anything. Even the cats and dogs coming out of the clouds. Don't worry if that were ever to happen. Trico has got you covered. Trico wipers will help you maintain max windshield contact for safe, clear driving visibility in any condition at all. No matter what your driving habits are or what vehicle you drive, you will always find the right Trico wiper blades for you. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. To find a store near you and see their latest offers, go to TricoCatsAndDogs.com. TricoCatsAndDogs.com. All right, so quickly, some reaction. I always like to see what you're thinking off my open. Hey, Rome, what is the big deal about Charlie Morton pitching with a broken stick? Remember me in the NBA Finals playing with a hangover? The flu? Signed, MJ.
That's bullshit.
You think about that, Aaron, in Iowa? You know the name of that, right? That's the flu game, not the hangover game. So therefore, it must have been the flu. Oh. Allegedly. Probably. Maybe not. Romy, That World Series game was absolutely thrilling. Regards, adults that jump during a scary movie and people that eat mild salsa. Yeah, Geoff, I saw that the first 50 times you sent that. Rome Boy, thanks for reminding me about the moon that grew out of Rockmon's skull. Made me put down the donut and save my diet. Thanks, Joey in Fresno, via the Z Fold 3. Hey, Joe, question. Is that part of your signature from the phone, or did you want me to know that you had the Z Fold 3?
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Because I respect it if you want me to know that, because you know that I am a phone honk of all sorts. This guy's good. I like this. Rome Show, be honest. How hard did that endorphin rush hit you when you heard those slot machine sounds at the Wynn? Did you sit at a machine for hours with one of those plastic coin cups? Edward Longshanks. Dude, that is so good. I love that. What a great point. He's right. You know how that is, man. There is nothing. And I've made this point too, but I want to remake this point. Back in the day especially, it doesn't hit me the same way. It hits me every time. But not like back in the day. Back in the day, when you'd get off the airplane and you'd go through McCarran, man, that was like the ultimate blast of adrenaline. Like somebody grabbed me and just hammered me with a spike of adrenaline. Nothing like it. So I'm trying to think again, the last time I went to Vegas. It's been a few years. And when I got off the plane yesterday, and again, it's very different. Like, I was going there for a business meeting. If you saw our Instagram feed, I went to see our friends at WynnBET, in fact. Had a great time. Great business meeting. Great. I'll get into the whole thing later on. But it's not the same. I mean, it was business. And it was great. And it was awesome, man. The energy was so good. It's not the same as going to a bachelor party for a weekend. Or it's not the same as going with your wife or girlfriend or your significant other for a weekend. However, there is that endorphin rush. You're right. And it was before I got to the hotel. I certainly got it when I walked into the hotel because I always have great, great memories of that property. It's a beautiful property. And I've had so much fun at that property. But you get it when you get to the hotel. I mean, when you get to the airport, right away, it's all right there on your face, right in my face. To answer your question, no. I did not post up at a slot machine with a plastic cup for the endorphin blast. No, you want to know what? The endorphin blast started long before then. The endorphin blast started when I got to the airport and I posted up in Zone A of Southwest. That's when it started. That's when it all came rushing back to me. Now, Zone A is certainly better than this guy in Zone 3. Ray, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
So I'm flying to Atlanta, right? I'm in Oakland Airport. So I'm sitting in Zone 3. So she calls Zone 2 up, and I'm looking, and here comes Stephen Curry. Walks right up to the front of the line. The lady looks at his ticket, and she goes, "Sir, you want to stand right here?" So he stands right next to me, Stephen Curry, and I look at him. I go, "Bro, Zone 3?" And he looked at it, and he goes, "Yeah, Zone 3.
I actually don't know why we ran him. That was a pretty good story. I guarantee my man's told that story 8 million times. I guarantee I've played that story 1 million times. I don't know why we ran him. That's pretty good. Anyway, I've got my own Southwest story really quickly. So I'm Zone A, and people are really possessive. Like, I was seat 4. Dudes were walking up to me like, "What's your number?" I'm like, 4, bro. Are you 5? Are you 6? So we're doing this, and it's fine. It's great. And I'm feeling really good about me because I am Zone A, and I'm row 4. So I'm getting on pretty early. And this flight is packed. Packed. Short flight. No worries. No issues. Except for the one poor gal. The one poor gal, then when we landed and we're waiting for the door to open up and people were standing in the aisle, this poor gal, and I saw her get on, and she had a couple of kids in tow, young kids. She starts pushing through the aisle. And you know how awkward that can be, right? When it's just not your turn. And this poor gal is saying, "I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. Excuse me. I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up." And she's got a way to go now. And I'm like, she's not going to make it There's no way she's going to make it to the cabeza. She's not going to make it. Excuse me. And there's this old guy next to me. And remember, I'm number four, so I'm probably... I wasn't the fourth one on, so maybe I was row six. And there's this old guy who's just kind of oblivious and standing. Man, he's posted up right in the middle. And she's trying to push around him. Excuse me. I'm going to throw up. And I'm like, uh-oh. This warrior made it to the bathroom, handled her business, and I saw her outside in the airport on the way back to baggage claim, just handling the two little kids. I'm like, damn, she is a warrior. Another example where if that were me, I'd be looking for a nice, soft place to lie down and get airlifted out of there so I can go puke someplace else. Man, some moms are tough. Tough. And I'm like, hell yeah, it's good to be traveling again. And that's before I got out of the airport in Vegas. And then the show started. Once you start tripping around, it was fun, man. It was good. I wish it were longer. All right, so I have more thoughts on that. I can lay out exactly what went down, some other things I saw, some other things I did in my 2 hours there, and I will later on. But when we come back, I'll keep it on topic and market. The Vegas Raiders, they're having a year now. Solomon Thomas joins me when we come back. Hey, listen, really quickly, I'm getting too far out there. The beef segment is at the top. I need you calling right now. Why are those calls not coming in faster? That whole bank should be lit by now. 1-800-636-8686. What is your beef? Sports, non-sports. I do this every Wednesday, I tell you this. It can be about sports or not sports, personal or professional, social, family, your coworkers, anything. Randoms on the street. I'm here to take your beef on anything at all. And then we play it back in the form of video on Twitter. So you get some double run. Here is a bomb of the hour sports update. Here is the one...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Since it's Wednesday, it is an Ask the Pros Day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Make sure you get out in front of this and hit me up at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me anything you want there. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We're going to talk Raider football momentarily. At Romy's, my homie is in. That's Abigail. She's dangerous. She writes, Jimmers, can you ask Solomon what I should tip on a $58 check? I'm trying to save some money. Signed, Scottie Pippen. Abigail, I'm not going to do that. But I do have a reaction to it, which I will have for you later on because I have my guest right now. I do have a reaction to that. We're joined right now by a defensive lineman for the Raiders. He's coming off a game where he had three tackles and a couple of quarterback hits in Sunday's win over Philadelphia. 12 tackles, 9 quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a couple of passes defense this season. So he's having a big year. He was an All-American and an All-Pac-12 selection. He was the third pick in 2017 out of Stanford. Vegas, 5-2 on the year. Raiders at the Giants on November 7th. He is co-founder of the defensive line. He is Solomon Thomas. Solomon, great to have you back. How are you?
Jim, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me on today.
It's good to have you back. Listen, you and I spoke back in March, and now for an update, Solomon, you are on a new team in a new city. You've won a couple of straight heading into that bye week. So how you living? How's life right now?
Life has been good right now. You know, we're 5-2. You know, we've really come together as a team. You know, unfortunately, we had some adversity the last couple of weeks, but we're able to pull together and just really, really band together. It's been a special group, you know, and we've just had a great time, and I just love the team, you know, love the city of Vegas, and we want to continue to get better and win. You know, we know how much potential we have, and we know what we have in front of us.
We're talking to Solomon Thomas. I'm going to ask you about some of the adversity and how you guys did come together. But just defensively, if we go back to Sunday, you had that big game and a win over Philadelphia. What was the mindset of the entire defense going into that game? And what about that unit collectively, the mindset that it has? How would you describe that?
We knew the challenge we had in front of us. We knew how talented and, you know, how impactful Jalen Hurts is as a quarterback. So we knew we had to contain him. We knew we had to put rush and cover together, and we had to stop the run. And, you know, all week we just been getting after it, you know, practicing details, listening to our coaches, really just pushing each other as teammates and then really expecting the best out of each other and giving that to each other. So, you know, going into the game, you know, really motivated and wanted to get a win for our home fans. And, you know, to go into the bye week 5-2, go into the bye with a win, it makes such a big difference. So we can really, you know, reset, recharge during this bye week and head into the last 9 games of the season fully ready to go.
We're talking to Solomon Thomas. I mentioned we spoke back in March. You know, it seems like it's a really good fit for you and for the team. Like, in terms of free agency itself, I'm curious, what was that like? What was the free agency experience like for you? And what made you feel like the Raiders were the right spot and the right team for you?
Yeah, free agency was definitely, you know, a different process. You know, something I wasn't used to, but it was cool in its own way as well. You know, I'm very blessed to have, you know, such a great agent in Tommy Condon Jr. And he took care of me and, you know, he, you know, pushed me through it and taught me through it as long as we went through it. And, you know, I just thought the Raiders, you know, Coach Marinelli, you know, he has a rich history in defensive linemen. He's going to go down as one of the best defensive lineman coaches in the history of the league. And, you know, I've heard stories about him. I've heard about the man he was. And I thought, you know, that to play for him would be an honor. And then, you know, Gus Bradley, you know, I'm familiar in the defense that he runs. You know, from Coach Sala, and I've actually went through the draft process with Gus Bradley, and I got to see a little bit of who he was as well, and I wanted to play for him, and you know, just to also get the chance to play with Max Crosby, Jonathan Hankins, you know, some of the talent on this team. I thought it was a perfect fit, and you know, it's working out, and you know, I just love being here. I love playing for this team. Love playing for my guys beside me.
Solomon Thomas joining us. Yeah, I'm smiling right now because I was going to ask you about Rod Marinelli because I haven't spoken to him in a few years, but he's one of my all-time favorites, and I've got so much respect for him and how he approaches his work. I can tell by the way you answer that question, you do as well. What has it been like working with Rod? Has it lived up to the hype and the expectations you had?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, he blew it out of the water. You know, Coach Marinelli, you know, I've only been with him for three, four months, but, you know, he's made a huge impact on my life as well as the game of football. You know, he cares about us as men more than football players, and that's not an exaggeration. You know, every Saturday we have something called man building where he teaches us about, you know, how to be a better man, certain examples, certain stories, and that's his goal in this game. You know, he wants us to obviously excel in football and be the best players we can be, and he gets it out of us. You know, our practices are not easy. It's the same thing every day from OTAs to the end of the season. And, you know, our individual period, our group period is a grind. And, you know, we're out there pushing each other and going full speed every time. But what he gets us as men is a different story. You know, he makes sure that, you know, we are getting better. We're going to be better fathers. We're going to be better sons. We're going to be better husbands. You know, he wants that out of us. And that's his main goal. And it's special. And, you know, I'm thankful for his guidance as a football coach as well as his guidance as a man.
Man, that is so rare. That is really, really interesting. Solomon Thomas joining us. You know, at the same time, you were coming off an ACL injury that you suffered early last year, and you're playing at a really high level. Like, how do you explain the fact that you've come back as quickly as you have and are playing at the level that you are right now? How have you managed to pull that off?
You know, I have a lot of people to thank. You know, I'm, you know, one of my treatment and trainers, Rex Butler at Telus Method in Orange County, as well as Scott Herrera at Legacy Performance in Dallas, Texas. You know, I really buy into these guys and the work they do, and you know, they pour into me. You know, so many hours, so much time, and you know, I spend so much time with these two guys, and they really know what they're doing. You know, it's this different stuff called, you know, Odoa myofascial stretching. You know, the true biomechanics and anatomy of the body. You know, I've just put in a lot of work with them over the year, and I've learned a lot about patience, a lot about hard work, a lot about, you know, how to approach the body the right way. And, you know, they've been able to get me back on the field as fast as I've been able to, you know. You know, I tore my ACL in October and had surgery in October. And, you know, I was able to, you know, be a full participant in OTAs and everything. So, you know, I just got to credit those guys. And, you know, just my support system behind me, you know, my mom, dad, my girlfriend, You know, everyone who really just took care of me during that time, because as you know, those times aren't easy, and it's a long recovery process. So, you know, thankful for everyone who's pushed me and brought me along the way, because, you know, I just wanted to get back on that field more than ever, and I dedicated those last 8-9 months just to football and sacrifice a lot just to be back on this field.
No doubt. Solomon Thomas joining us. You mentioned at the very top that there has been some adversity. The team went through quite a bit, in fact, the last few weeks. What was your reaction when the reports of John Gruden's emails first came out and then when he resigned?
You know, it was definitely, you know, very, very tough times, you know, as a team. You know, as someone like you look up to, you know, a head coach is your leader and someone, you know, you respect and you hold high regards and, like, the person you fight behind. And, you know, so to see what happened, you know, it was tough. You know, and to see how we found out, you know, I found out on Twitter, and, you know, that was tough to see. But, but it was able to bring us together as a team, though. Like, you know, we're in shock. We don't know where to go next. And that's when our leaders step up. Derek Carr, Darren Waller, Max Crosby, we all get behind those guys, and they push us together. And, like, hey, you know, we're 3-2 at the time. We're second in the AFC, and we can AFC West, and we have a lot of talent behind us, and we can make a big push. So, you know, Mike Mayock came up and had a great talk in front of us. Coach Passaccia had a great talk in front of us, and was like, hey, we keep pushing forward. We got this, and we're here for each other, and we keep making strides, because, you know, in this league, you don't get time, and you don't get to replay things. So this is our one chance to do it, so we need to take full advantage of it. And that's what we're trying to do each and every day. So, you know, I'm thankful for my teammates, thankful for my leaders. And, you know, I think we're something special, and we just want to show that each week and keep getting better each week.
It seems to me, tell me I'm wrong, but something like that's going to go one or two ways, right? It's either going to rip that team apart, or it's going to galvanize the team, because the leaders will step up and take control of the situation and guys will follow. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened in that regard, right?
Definitely. Yes, sir. Yeah, exactly. That's what we said. We said, hey, this can go one or two ways. We can tear each other apart, or we can really build each other up. And, you know, we knew just from the first 5 games of the season what we had, and we knew the special things we can do this season. So we're like, we're going to come together, we're going to make the most of this, and we're going to shock the world.
We're talking to Solomon Thomas. I want to ask you about defensive line. You and I have talked in the past about your sister Ella, as well as the work that you and your family do with defensive line. First off, what does it mean to be working with your parents and your cousin to bring hope and help to young people who struggle with mental health, something that we need to talk more and more about?
It means the world to me, you know, to be able to work with my parents and my cousin Ray, you know, people who are deeply impacted by, you know, the loss of my sister, and people who also are just so passionate about changing, you know, the world of mental health and saving young lives and saving any life available just to make an impact in this world. You know, we care so deeply about this, about mental health, and we've seen, you know, from our own grief and from our own, like, recovery process from losing Ella, you know, how behind we are in this mental health world, and how much work we have to do, and the stigma we have to erase. And, you know, our goal every day, you know, is to save life and let people know it's okay not to be okay. You know, it's okay to ask for help, and that you're not alone in this fight, you know, that someone else is going through the same fight as you, and that there's light in this tunnel of darkness that you're going through. And we want to help you see that light. So, you know, because the world's a better place with you, and we love you, and we just want to touch and impact as many lives as we can. So, you know, it's special doing that as a family, and something I cherish every day.
Well, man, you're coming from such a good place, and I love that notion that it's okay not to be okay. In fact, not only is it okay to ask for help, but you need to ask for help. I'm curious, in the locker room itself, are there guys that are not okay, and is the conversation becoming more comfortable? Are guys being more comfortable and confident and coming forward? Is it a dialogue that you have in the locker room now, whereas maybe in the past it would have never happened?
Yes, sir, Jim. It's been unbelievable. You know, the change, you know, when I first came in the league, to my second year when I started speaking about mental health and my sister dying by suicide, and to now where, you know, I have teammates come up to me asking, like, hey, where do I go if I need help? And stuff like that. So just to see the change in the locker room and the acceptance of mental health and the acceptance of not being okay, you know, we've made big strides in the NFL locker room, and just in society as well. And, you know, it's just motivating to see that, you know, world's getting out from whether it's me, whether it's Dak Prescott, whether it's Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, Liz Cambage, all these people who have made impacts in the athlete world. And they're helping change the stigma and erase that stigma, because God, this work is hard. This work is stressful, and we're human just like anyone else. And we can go through the ups and downs of life just like anyone else. So it's important for us to understand that we need help, and that help will help us not only in life, but help us, that help will help us as players and becoming our best full self as well. So just having teammates reach out to me, like, that makes my day every time that happens. And so it's pretty special, Jim.
That is great. You are such a good dude, Solomon. Solomon Thomas, my guest. He is the co-founder of Defensive Line. He and his family are doing amazing work. The Raiders banding together. They are 5-2. They've got the bye, and then they're at the Giants on November 7th. Solomon, I do appreciate you. I appreciate the relationship, and it's always good to have you on this show, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jim. I always appreciate your time and having me on. It's a blessing. Thank you, man.
You too. I appreciate the same things about you, Solomon. And I feel the same way about you, my man. Solomon Thomas, he is such a good dude. Such a good dude. I would imagine, I'm not in that locker room, I would imagine he is an awesome person to have in that locker room. About all the right things. And lifting people up. Remember yesterday when Jordan Poyer came on and he told his story and his battle with addiction, and I said, I've got so much respect that I could see where you could go through something like that and want to keep it private. And he's like, no, but I want to help people. I can help people. I'm going through something, or I went through something that a lot of other people went through, and I want to be here for them. Same thing with Solomon and his family. They went through something absolutely horrific, and they want to be there and they want to help other people. Now, when we come back, I want to change up, and it's time to beef. Yeah, that's not a really convenient segue. I understand that. But we're coming to the second hour, and it was designated at the top of hour number two as the beef segment. So this is what we will do. We will beef. If there is something bothering you, hit me up right now. 1-800-636-8686. Honestly, I don't even care what it is. You can beef about anything at all. Just make sure you get in and you get out. I don't want a diatribe. I want a beef. You know, bam, bam, hit me. Beef, beef. Phones, social media, email. It is your segment coming up next.